Doing a interview for the National Council of Jewish Women Pittsburgh Section Oral History Project Number 2. We are interviewing Mr. Barton Cowan in his offices at the U.S. Steel Building. Mr. Cowan, if you would say a few words, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. This is a very interesting project. I think it's really pretty fascinating what you're doing. It'll be great in future years to have some of this type of thing.
Again, this is Marcy Schwartz and Judy Rubenstein interviewing Mr. Barton Cowan. Mr. Cowan, I guess what we'd like you to do is tell us a little bit about your family background, your parents' names, and where they're from, where you were born, about siblings, anything that you can share with us.
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. My parents were Milton and Clara Cowan. My mother was born in Ekaterinoslav, Ukraine, although she doesn't know, and she is still alive, she doesn't know that we know that. She has always told her children, grandchildren, and others that she was born in Boston, Massachusetts, but in fact, we know that she came to this country when she was 2 years old, being brought over by her parents, and they settled in Boston. My father was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and lived there all his life, except when he was away at college. I have one brother, Dale, who is a doctor in Cleveland. He is also has a law degree, but he practices medicine in Cleveland. He's married and has three children, and I'm married to Terry Ann Thomas, formerly of Seattle, Washington, and have three daughters. You want me to continue?
Absolutely.
With?
Absolutely, go right ahead.
What was your father, I'm sorry, when did your grandparents, like your father's family,
My father.
Why did they come to the States, and do you know about
my
when?
My father's mother was born in Odessa, in what is now Ukraine. I think it was then Ukraine too. In the 1880s, I don't have it here, but I do know the exact dates. She immigrated to the United States in the 1890s sometime. And my father's...
What was her name?
Her name was Rebecca. And my father's father, whose name was Charles, immigrated to the United States also in the 1890s. He was born in a town which sometimes was Polish and sometimes was Russian, right on the border. That name I don't recall, and my grandparents met in the United States in Cleveland, and were married in Cleveland. My grandfather, my father's father, so, original family name, last name was Flasker, or Fleischer, or some name like that. When he came to the United States, he had been preceded by two half-brothers who had a different father, the same mother but a different father. Their last name was Cohen. And so when he came to the United States and was asked by the immigration authorities if he had relatives here, and he said, yes, my brother, and he was asked their name, and so he was given the name Cohn in this country, which is why the family name was Cohn. My dad changed to Cowan in the 1920s sometime. My part of my father's family settled in Uniontown, and I still have a lot of second and third cousins. I think all my great aunts are gone now, but I still have a lot of second and third cousins in and around the Uniontown area and also in the Pittsburgh area. Most of whom I do not know, a few of whom I do, but most of whom I do not know and don't see. So that my father's family essentially has been in the United States since the 1890s sometime. My mother's family, as I said, came from Ekaterinoslav in Ukraine. Ekaterinoslav, I think, is now the large city called, forgive my pronunciation, Dnipropetrovsk or some such name like that, is east of Kiev and is a very large city. They came, my mother's father and mother came to the United States with my mother and my aunt in 1907. They came to the United States after some of the pogroms in Ukraine. And as I say, they settled in Boston. They eventually moved to Cleveland. I don't know what reasons. My mother doesn't talk very much about it because my mother's parents, they had two more children, so there were four children, and they got divorced at some point along the line. And my grandfather, who, on my mother's side, who I never knew, moved to and lived in Los Angeles for the rest of his life. I never met him.
And their family name was?
My mother's family name was Umans, U-M-A-N-S. Which we think comes from the Uman district in Ukraine. There's a district or area of Ukraine called Uman, and we think that's where the name comes from.
It sounds like you've done a genealogical search, have you?
I've done some work on this. I have a first cousin on my mother's side. That's my mother's brother's child, whose name is Stephen Umans, who is a professor at MIT, and he has done some research into my mother's and his father's family. They were brother and sister, including obtaining copies of the passports and other immigration papers, which is how we know where my mother was born. On my father's side, I have a first cousin in Chicago. And he and I, between us, have done some research on it. And in addition, when video cameras first came out for use at home, these great big clunky video cameras, I bought one and I sat my father down. This was a number of years before he passed away. And I have 5 hours of videotape of my dad talking about the family. So, and about how things were when he was a child and growing up and all kinds of things like that, so that we have done some research. I have a chart that my dad helped me prepare on his family, which my cousin and I keep saying we have to bring up to date, but we haven't done that in the last 5 or 10 years, so it doesn't include all the more recent additions to the family, and we have to do some more research to check some other records. When I retire, I'll probably do that.
What did your father do for you?
My father was a teacher. He was a science teacher. He taught chemistry and physics in the Cleveland public school systems for 41 or 42 years. He was the first Jewish teacher in the science field to be hired in the Cleveland public schools.
Is that right?
Yes, in 1920-something, 27, 28, something like that. And he taught during the Second World War. He also taught physics and chemistry at what was then Case Institute of Technology, now part of Case Western Reserve University. But he taught in the public schools in Cleveland for 41 or 42 years.
And you say he's passed away?
My dad passed away in July 1990. He was 87 years old. He had Alzheimer's and passed away from complications of Alzheimer's.
Mr. Cohen, your mother still lives in Cleveland?
My mother's still living in Cleveland. She is now 92. She'll be 93 next May, God willing. And she also was a teacher. When we were growing up, she didn't teach, but before she was married, She taught, and then for 20 years after we grew up, she taught in Cleveland Heights Public Schools. And she is now living in an assisted care living facility in Cleveland called Stone Garden, which is the Cleveland equivalent and the model for Weinberg Terrace.
Is that right?
Yes, that's the same architect did Weinberg Terrace. Fortunately, he may learn from the mistakes they made at the place that my mother's at, because they made a number of architectural errors in that building. It's a beautiful building, though, a very nice facility.
Is there anybody in your family that you would care to mention that we haven't mentioned so far? Anybody that had special significance to you? Any rabbis, scholars, community leaders?
We have no rabbis in the families. We have a lot of teachers in my family. Both of my parents were teachers. I have one of my mother's brothers was a public school teacher, also a high school science teacher. And his wife was a teacher. I already mentioned my cousin who teaches at MIT. My wife is a trained teacher, and two of my three daughters have education degrees. And in addition, a couple of my cousins have children who have education degrees. So there are a lot of teachers in the family. No rabbis, at least not that I know of.
Were your parents involved in the community, though? Because you yourself are, and I was...
Yes, both my parents taught Sunday school at what was then called the Euclid Avenue Temple, now Fairmount Temple in Cleveland, one of the big Reformed congregations in Cleveland. I don't remember my dad teaching Sunday school because he apparently stopped doing it when I was very small, but my mother taught Sunday school for many, many years. She also was the head of the Girl Scout troop there, and she was also active in Council and in Hadassah and in other Jewish organizations that I don't really recall, but I know that she always seemed to have some Jewish activity or other, so that she was pretty active in the Jewish community there. But mostly she is remembered as a teacher. When they had the 150th anniversary celebration of Fairmount Temple 2 or 3 years ago, they went back to the old Euclid Avenue Temple building, which was at 82nd and Euclid in Cleveland, which is the building I grew up in. I hadn't been in it since they sold it. And it's now owned and maintained by a Baptist church. And they went back there for a dinner and then for a Shabbat evening service. And the rabbi gave a sermon. And during the sermon, he talked about the history of the temple and talked about various people who had been active at the congregation over the years. And my mother, of course, was with me there. And he singled out my mother and two other teachers as examples there. So she was very well known as a teacher, both in religious school and in the community.
We're going to talk a little bit about your early years and what it was like growing up in Cleveland. Did you grow up in Cleveland proper?
No, I grew up in Cleveland Heights. And I guess when I was born, my parents lived in an apartment, but after I was about a year old, they moved to a two-family house that they rented. And I grew up in the second floor of a two-family house. I went away to college in 1951 in September to Michigan, and that fall my parents moved to a private home.
Is that right?
Yes. So so I basically grew up in one house about two blocks from the high school in Cleveland.
You went to Cleveland Heights?
I went to Cleveland Heights High School at a time when Cleveland Heights High School was one of the great high schools in the public school systems in the country. I went to elementary school at a mixed elementary school called Fairfax Elementary, mixed in religious sense, and junior high school at Roxborough Junior High School in Cleveland. Roxborough was also mixed, We were about six houses from the boundary. Had I fallen on the other side of the boundary, I would have gone to Roosevelt Junior High School, which was a almost all Jewish junior high school in those days. But I fell on the side of the boundary where we had a mixed group, and then went to Cleveland Heights High, which was, I don't know what the percentage was, but it was well over half Jewish at that in those days. And graduated, as they say, in 1951. I was in the band and the orchestra in Cleveland Heights and high school. I remember lots of things. I don't know how much detail
Please,
you want me to go.
A lot of detail. As much detail as you can go into.
My parents were Reform right from the beginning. They were married in Cleveland at Euclid Avenue Temple, which is one of the two big Reform temples there, by Rabbi Wolseley, who was one of the great rabbis in the Reform movement at the time. My dad's parents were Orthodox and belonged to a shul on 105th Street, which later moved out to Goethe Heights Boulevard.
What was the name of it?
I don't remember. I do not remember the name of it. I have that in my record someplace too. My mother's mother, who by this time had been divorced, was conservative. And belonged to the Heights Temple, which at that time was one of the largest conservative congregations in the country. One of the things I can remember was that at high holidays when I was small, my dad would take me to shul where my grandparents belonged.
To the Orthodox shul.
My grandmother and my aunts would sit upstairs behind the curtain, and I would be downstairs when we weren't running in and out. And then I would go with my other grandmother to the Heights Temple, to the conservative service, typically on the morning of either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, to accompany her, usually with my mother there. And in the afternoon, I would go to the children's service or the special services at the Reform Euclid Avenue Temple.
Certainly had a cross.
So I had a cross section when I was growing up. Another memory from those days during the Second World War, I was a young boy. My dad decided that. Fairmount Temple or Euclid Avenue Temple had a tremendous religious school at the time. The head of the religious school was a man named Nathan Brilliant, and the assistant head was a woman named Libby Braverman, who were two of the outstanding Jewish educators in the Reform movement at the time. I didn't know that then, but I knew Mr. Brilliant and Mrs. Braverman. And they had a program where you had not only confirmation and all the other things like that, but you also had special Hebrew. And we went 3 days a week, Friday after school, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning, to special Hebrew in a Reform congregation in the 1940s. So it was not classical Reform. It was, in that sense, much closer to conservative movement, although certainly it wasn't in worship practice. So we went that, and my dad decided sometime when I was about 7 or 8 years old, that out of deference to my grandfather, I ought to go to the Talmud Torah. And the Talmud Torah met in a storefront about six blocks from our house, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday after school. So in 1944 and 1945, I went to Hebrew school 7 days a week, except not in the summer, but during the school year. 4 days to Talmud Torah and 3 days to...
And you had time for music, too?
Yeah. I also played the trumpet, had private trumpet lessons, and the... although in 44 I was only 10 years old, so I was just starting with music. My mother was a very good pianist. She still can play the piano, even at 92. but she was a very good pianist. And she wanted both my brother and me to learn how to play the piano. Well, it took with my brother, it didn't take with me. I, for whatever reason, and I regret now that I didn't stay with it, but for whatever reason, I didn't stay with it and switched over to the trumpet. My brother took trombone lessons, so he marched in the band too eventually and played in the bands, but he can play piano. I cannot. I can read music, but I can't play piano.
Mr. Cohen, did you have traditional Shabbat dinners at home, or did your mother light candle, or anything?
My mother lit candles in the house on Shabbat. We did not have traditional Shabbat dinners in the sense that we did not say Kiddush. We did say a motzi, but no Kiddush, at least not that I can remember. But everybody was, we were all there for Friday night dinners, and it was always, almost always chicken, roast chicken.
You're immediate, when you say all.
Immediate family, but our house was the gathering place for aunts and uncles and cousins and so forth, so sometimes they would be there too. On Sunday, everybody came to our house. When I say everybody, my grandparents on both sides, my aunts and uncles who lived in Cleveland, and at that time the whole family lived in Cleveland except for one aunt and uncle in Chicago and one in Las Vegas, and cousins and so forth. So Sunday, for many years, our house was the gathering place. But for Shabbat, the immediate family would be there for Shabbat dinner. I'd come back from Hebrew school and get home, and we'd have dinner as a family.
Did your mother keep kosher because you're
my mother kept kosher until my father's mother died. My father's mother died in 1956, so I was already 22 years old. I was already in law school. And after my father's mother died, my mother stopped keeping strictly kosher. But she always, until she moved to where she is now, where the meals are provided, she always had kosher meat. There was never any non-kosher products. There was never any ham, never any pork, never any shellfish. No, even after she stopped keeping strictly kosher, all those years of habit, she's remained relatively kosher, although she said she wasn't keeping kosher. We had two sets of dishes. For Passover, we had two sets of dishes. I can remember, because some dishes you don't duplicate, we go out and find a rock or something and do whatever the custom was to make Pesedik some of the dishes. We had glass dishes. We had some neighbors who were Orthodox, who lived on one side of us, who were very good friends of my parents, and they used to also, they would be able to eat at our house because my mother kept kosher. She kept our household was strictly kosher all the time I was growing up.
Now for Pesach, did your grandparents and your aunts and uncles also come to your house? Were there a larger Pesach?
Most of the Pesach, I have visions of my grandfather leading the, my grandfather died, my dad's father died in 1950. And so I would have been about 16 years old. I still can remember him coming to and leading the service at our house. What I most remember was that we always had to get two big pillows and a particular kind of chair so he could lean and lean comfortably. But yes, they came for Seder also. We used to go second night Seder when I was growing up, about half the time at the next door neighbors, and then occasionally at other places for second night Seder. So even though my parents were Reformed, in many ways we had a lot of Orthodox overlay.
There were a lot of grandparents' influences.
A lot of my grandparents' influences, out of respect to them. In addition, I had
a first cousin who lived in Chicago. That's my dad's sister's son. And his father's family was more Orthodox than my father's family. And they lived in Cleveland. They had moved to Chicago, but they used to come back to Cleveland for Pesach. And so I can remember going to his grandparents' house for second Seder. They lived in an apartment someplace. And, I can remember going to their house, and that was a very, very Orthodox Seder. It went on forever.
Mr. Cohen, what memories do you have of your bar mitzvah? Were you bar mitzvah? I should ask you.
Oh,
that.
Yes. I was consecrated at Euclid Avenue Temple when I was 5 years old.
When were you born?
I was born on March 3rd, 1934. And I was consecrated when I was 5 years old at Euclid Avenue Temple. I still remember, I guess mostly from pictures, not really from real memory, little bits of consecration. Some of the people that I was consecrated with, I also ultimately graduated from high school with, and I still see occasionally at class reunions. But I was bar mitzvahed when I was 13. In March, the first Saturday in March in 1947, at Euclid Avenue Temple, Reformed congregation, we had bar mitzvahs and everything. I remember my parents gave a party at the house for the family and friends. And they surprised me because they got me at that party a brand new trumpet. I can still remember receiving that trumpet, which I still have to this day. And that was the trumpet I used all the way through school until I got to need a cornet also, so then I had two instruments. I do not recall, I recall my bar mitzvah passage was the passage where Moses comes down from Sinai and breaks the commandments the first time coming down. That was the week I was bar mitzvah. That was part of the Torah passage. We trained for bar mitzvah with a special teacher in those days. Because I haven't used my Hebrew in so many years, I've lost a lot of the ability to do that. But in those days, I remember we went, I was no longer going to Talmud Torah by then, but I remember going to a special teacher twice a week in addition to the special Hebrew classes. So then it was 3 days, then it was 5 days a week.
So your bar mitzvah was in Hebrew as well?
The bar mitzvah was in Hebrew. Yeah. But it was from chapel. They had a large chapel of Euclid Avenue Temple. The only social event associated with it was this party my parents gave at the house. No big big social event other than that. It was, most of my friends were bar mitzvah. Certainly most of the boys, but I don't think any of the girls. But most of the boys were bar mitzvah at Euclid Avenue Temple in those days.
The temple was very advanced.
Well,
or not.
It depends. Most people tend to think, especially in Pittsburgh, I found most people tend to think of the Reform movement as coming out of classical Reform, and that everything was classical Reform until 15 or 20 years ago. But that really isn't so. In cities like Cleveland, there was a classical Reform temple. That was the temple in Cleveland, which was Abba Hillel Silver's temple. But Fairmount, or Euclid Avenue Temple, which was bigger than Silver's temple. When I was at Euclid Avenue Temple, it was Barnett Brickner's, was the head rabbi, had never been classical Reform. It had always been very traditional Reform. And there are a lot of congregations around the country like that that were never classical Reform. And so they always had bar mitzvahs. And they always had a lot of Hebrew emphasis on that. When you live in one of the unusual things when I came to Pittsburgh was to find out how many people thought that the only Reform was classical Reform.
Yeah, certainly I did.
And it's just not, I mean, that was the dominant Reform because Emanuel in New York and Rosh Shalom in Pittsburgh and the Temple in Cleveland and the Temple in Atlanta a lot of the major congregations were classical Reform, so that's, it projected that image, but there were congregations that were not classical Reform. We were one of them. You asked me about rabbis who affected. Mm-hmm. I gave a talk on this one time. There have been five rabbis who had a tremendous influence on me. Four directly, and one a little more indirectly. One was Barnett Brickner, who was one of the great nationally known Reform leaders. And he was the rabbi all the time I was growing up at Fairmount Temple, or Euclid Avenue Temple. We had an assistant rabbi.